One point that I continuously make in my videos is that the Catholic Church, for over 100 years, has been infiltrated by communists, sodomites, and Freemasons. The communist infiltration we know of from a woman who went by the name of Bella Dodd. She was part of the American wing of the Communist Party and testified before Congress that they were responsible for putting some 1,100 communists into Catholic seminaries. And that's just in America. Father John O'Connor was suspended by his superior in the late 1980s for teaching the true Catholic position on homosexual acts. When a canon lawyer went to Rome on his behalf, he came back saying that Father O'Connor would never get his faculties back because there were too many pro-sodomites in the Roman Curia. But where does all this stem from? In my last video, I showed the Freemasonic plan to infiltrate the Catholic Church in order to destroy it from within. And yes, I believe the communist and the sodomite infiltrations are part of the overall Freemasonic plot. There is a connection between Freemasonry and communism, either overtly, in other words, communism comes directly from Freemasonry, which is what I believe, or indirectly. It came as a result of the Freemasonic infiltration of European society. There is good evidence that Vladimir Lenin and Leon Trotsky were in fact Freemasons, two of the main architects of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. However, there is no direct evidence that Karl Marx himself was a Freemason, but we do have pictures of him giving Freemasonic signs. The fact that both have infiltrated the Catholic Church over the last century is good evidence that they are at least in league with each other. At any rate, these two ideologies or entities, communism and Freemasonry, are what Our Lady warned us about when it comes to the infiltration of the Catholic Church. So how successful have they been? After Pope Leo XIII died in 1903, the cardinals in conclave began the process of selecting the next pope. The initial votes were tallied, and the frontrunner was Cardinal Mariano Rampolla, who had been Secretary of State under the deceased pope. Suddenly, the Bishop of Krakow, at the time part of the Austrian Empire, declared officially and in the name and by the authority of the Emperor of Austria and King of Hungary that His Majesty, in view of an ancient right and privilege, pronounces the veto and exclusion against Cardinal Mariano Rampolla. No reason was given during the conclave, but the veto action exercised by the Bishop of Krakow cost Cardinal Rampolla the papacy. It wasn't until 1918, several years after the incident and Rampolla's untimely death, direct evidence was discovered that Cardinal Rampolla was not just a Freemason, but a member of the diabolical Masonic Academy, the Order of Oriental Templars. The name of Rampolla was listed in the OTO's manifesto, published in a Masonic journal along with Aleister Crowley, British spy and considered the grandfather of modern Satanism. It seems the Bishop of Krakow discovered this evidence and used an ancient veto power by the Austrian Emperor that had not been used in 400 years to block the candidacy of Cardinal Rampolla. Father Charles Murr was the right-hand man of Bishop Gagnon, the man who was tasked by Pope Paul VI to investigate the Roman Curia, which comprises the institutions of the Holy See and the central body through which the affairs of the Roman Catholic Church are conducted. In other words, they run the church. To see how many of its members were Freemasons or had ties with Freemasonry, Father Murr wrote a book titled Murder in the 33rd Degree, which will be the primary source for this video. I would like to point out that I do not believe, nor does the book suggest, that any of the popes, such as Pope Paul VI, John Paul I, or John Paul II, which were the only popes in the book, were Freemasons. After all, Pope Paul VI is the one who commissioned Archbishop Gagnon to investigate the Curia. I believe that Pope Paul VI is what I would call a true believer, someone who actually believes the ideologies of liberalism. He truly believed that if the church changed its liturgy and to the extent it can its theology, that people would flock into the Catholic Church. Once he saw the opposite happen, he lamented very famously, saying, "The smoke of Satan has entered the church." The Gagnon report on Freemasons in the Roman Curia has not been revealed to the public to this day. Even Father Murr does not know its full contents. But here's what we do know. The number of members of the Curia who were Freemasons or had ties to Freemasonry was extensive and included some key members such as Cardinal Valot, Secretary of State, also known as the Pope's right-hand man, under Pope Paul VI, John Paul I, and John Paul II, until Valot's death in 1979. Cardinal Sabatino Baggio, prefect for the Congregation of Bishops under Paul VI, John Paul I, and John Paul II until 1984. This office appoints all bishops and archbishops all over the world, with the Pope's approval, of course. This means all the bishops and archbishops of the Catholic Church from 1973 to 1984 were appointed by a Freemason. Do you think he didn't appoint fellow Freemasons to those bishoprics? And of course, Archbishop Annibale Bugnini, the man who got rid of the Latin Mass that has been the Mass in one form or another for 1,800 years and was fixed by Pope Pius V immediately following the Council of Trent and replaced it with the Novus Ordo Mass now in use. That's right, the Mass in use today in the vast majority of parishes as well as the current liturgical calendar, all a clear departure from tradition, was given to us by a Freemason. I'll let that sink in. When Gagnon had finished his investigation, he tried to give it to Pope Paul VI, but the Pope refused, saying that he was about to die, and that if the report was left with him, it could fall into the wrong hands after he was gone, and that Gagnon needed to wait and give it to his successor. After Pope Paul VI died, Albino Luciani was elected his successor, taking the name John Paul. When Gagnon gave the new pope his report, the pontiff was ready to act and confronted Cardinal Baggio one evening in his papal apartment about his ties with Freemasonry. No one knows what was said, although a Swiss guard on duty reported a lot of yelling, because the next day the pope was found dead, lying peacefully with his reading glasses on and an open copy of The Imitation of Christ in his hands. It is said that he died of a heart attack, but as Monsignor Marini pointed out, heart attacks leave the body convulsed, not slumbering in peace. Cardinal Valot, Secretary of State, also suspected of being a Freemason, refused to authorize an autopsy on the Holy Father. If you think I'm suggesting that Pope John Paul I was murdered by Freemasons, you're correct. He was Pope for 33 days before his untimely death at age 66, numbers that are significant to Freemasonry. Unfortunately, Pope John Paul I's successor, John Paul II, did not take Gagnon's report seriously, leaving all the members of the Curia in place. This upset Archbishop Gagnon so much that he resigned from the Vatican and settled in Colombia doing mission work. The Pope didn't take the report seriously, that is, until the attempt on his life in 1981. When the Pope regained the ability to talk while recovering in the hospital, the first words out of his mouth were, "Find Gagnon." You see, at the meeting Gagnon had with the recently elected Pope John Paul II in 1979, along with the results of the initial investigation, Gagnon informed him that he had recently learned that they were planning on assassinating him. So you see, things aren't always as they seem. If you look up Mehmet Ali Aga, the man who shot John Paul II, it will tell you that he was part of a far right-wing nationalist group. But he was most likely part of a Freemasonic plot to kill Pope John Paul II, crafted by some of the very men in his own Roman Curia. Now, I want to make something clear. The fact that a priest or bishop is a Freemason does not affect their holy order and the ability to convect the sacraments validly. The penalty imposed by the Church for being a Freemason is excommunication, and the Church recognizes the validity of the sacraments of many excommunicated priests and bishops, such as all the Orthodox churches, the Polish National Catholic Church, and the Old Catholic Church. So the sacraments they convect are valid, just not licit. So, for instance, the fact that Cardinal Leinart, who ordained Marcel Lefebvre a priest as well as consecrated him a bishop, was found later to be a Freemason does not render the ordination or consecration invalid. So now you see why the Catholic Church is in such bad shape. She was infiltrated by her enemies in a vain effort to destroy her. That's right. No matter what they do, they will fail. We know this because Christ promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the Church, but also because all of this was predicted. In 1984, Pope Leo XIII was given a vision while saying Mass one day. One version says that he saw demons descending on the Vatican. Another says he heard a conversation between Christ and the devil where Satan boasted that he could destroy the Church if he had 75 to 100 years and more power over those who would give themselves to him. In response, Christ said, "You have the power and you have the time." Either way, the Pope immediately composed the St. Michael prayer and ordered it to be said publicly at the end of every low mass. This was, of course, removed by the Freemason Bugnini when he concocted the new mass. Our Lady in the 16th century appeared to Mother Mariana de Jesus Torres in Quito, Ecuador, to give prophecies about the 20th century. Among other things, she said that Freemasonry would be in charge of the world and attacked the Catholic Church. Quote, during that epoch, the Church will find herself attacked by terrible hordes of the Masonic sects. For Satan will reign almost completely by the means of Masonic sects. They will focus primarily on the children in order to sustain this general corruption. Woe to the children of those times. It will be difficult to receive the sacrament of baptism and also the sacrament of confirmation. They will receive the sacrament of confession only if they remain in Catholic schools. But when evil seems to triumph, and when authority abuses its power, committing all manner of injustice and oppressing the weak, their ruin shall be near. They will fall and crash to the ground. Then will the Church, joyful and triumphant like a little girl, reawaken and be comfortably cradled in the arms of the most dear and elect son of those times. This then will mark the arrival of my hour, when I, in a marvelous way, will dethrone the proud and cursed Satan, trampling him under my feet and fettering him in the infernal abyss. Thus the Church and country will finally be free of his cruel tyranny. God will save his Church. So pray the rosary and stay Catholic. Until my next video, God bless.